Good morning, everyone. We're hearing petition 41. Well, whoever's going to be presenting or essentially wants to be put on the record. I've got Tammy King here. Go ahead and give me the name and spelling of your the other parties.
Moiz Mohammed, M-O-I-Z. Last name Mohammed, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D.
I'm sorry. Moiz, M-O-I-Z, Mohammed is?
M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D.
Okay. All right.
And then sorry, go ahead.
Was there somebody else?
Yeah, Kevin Porter, K-E-V-I-N, last name P-O-R-T-E-R.
All right, thank you. I have spelled names wrong in the past and then had to go back in and change it, so I'd like to avoid that. All right, good morning, everyone. Let me go ahead and get us started on the housekeeping. So, bear with me.
We also have our notary in the room to verify identities if you need that.
I'm sorry, you have what?
We also have our notary in the room if you need to verify identities.
Sure, I'll let the clerk give direction as far as that goes.
All right, great.
That you are who you say you are, and then if they can go ahead and email that through sometime today for the record, just to confirm that you are who you say you are, and then they do not have to be present for the entire hearing.
Great, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right, so let me get the housekeeping. Good morning, everyone. We are hearing petition 41. It's Hernando County on 1028. It is currently 8:52 in the morning. And I know we went through the names already, but petitioner, please just introduce yourselves for the record again. Just no spelling this time, just say your names.
Tammy King, property tax analyst.
Moiz Mohammed, property tax director.
Kevin Porter, property tax manager.
Property appraiser's office.
Melissa Cullen, commercial coordinator.
Kevin Johnston, Chief Deputy Evaluation and Tax Roll.
Doug Mack, Commercial Specialist.
And Stephen Nation, Special Magistrate. Good morning, everyone. Petitioner, have you read the opening comments of value, the overview of the VAB process? Are you familiar with how this all works, or do you have any questions?
No, we don't have any questions.
Okay. I have a owner name noted as Walmart Distribution. I have a parcel ID noted as P-1987-00-4817-003 from the petition. And please raise your right hand. Do you swear from the evidence you're about to give me the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you very much, everyone. All right, so I have a property appraiser's package. I have about a 15 or so page package from you guys. Is that correct? Am I missing anything?
That's correct.
Okay. Was there a timely evidence exchange?
Yes.
All right. If there's no objections from either party, then the packages that I have here are considered admissible. I'm assuming the package didn't change.
No, sir.
Okay. Okay. So, what page, property appraiser's office, what page is are the values, your value?
I have a case synopsis that lists them, which is page 1.
Got it. Thank you. All right. Petitioner, I have a just value noted for the TPP in question for petition 41 of $111,642,577. This is a big one. Assessed and taxable of the same. That was the original value, and it was dropped after trim to 107,725,748, just assessed and taxable. Is that correct, property appraiser?
Yes.
Okay. Is that the number that everybody else has?
Yes.
Okay. Property appraiser's office, what was there was a decrease after trim? What happened?
I've explained it in my case synopsis,
sure.
But basically, after reviewing the portion of their value that they are disputing for their robotics equipment,
okay,
we determined that we felt they should be on a lower life, so we made those changes
okay,
in good faith.
Okay. Okay. So Property Appraiser's Office, please support the your assessment.
Okay, if you will look at the front page, this is my exchange of evidence form, just listing everything that has been included in my packet. The second page is just a cover page. A special magistrate, if I move too quickly, just let me know.
I shall.
The third page is a table of contents referencing the exhibits and the page numbers. If you'll turn to page one of the case synopsis, the parcel number for petition 2021-041 is P1987-004817-003. The owner is Walmart Regional Distribution Center. It is located on Kettering Road in Brooksville. This is an industrial distribution facility that was constructed in 1992. Our date of value is January 1st of 2021. As we just, or the special magistrate just mentioned, we had an original just assessed and taxable value, and then we made a reduction to a lower just assessed and taxable value. On pages 2 through 6, you can see aerial photographs and exterior photographs of the distribution facility. On page 6, we...
Pause, yes. Do you have any sticky notes?
Yes, sir.
Little ones if you have.
Yep.
Go ahead, continue.
On page 6, I've stated there that staff from our office were able to tour the facility and the robotics equipment in February of 2021. However, we were not able to or permitted to take photographs of the interior of the property.
All right, and let me pause you briefly. Is the, while I am obviously reviewing the entire TPP assessment, is the primary disagreement over the robotics equipment?
Yes, sir.
Petitioner, is your primary disagreement over the robotics equipment as well?
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right. Just, I wanted to refine my thought processes. Go ahead, continue.
Okay. On page 7, you can see that I have went into an explanation on the 8 criteria and how we considered it in the valuation of the tangible personal property.
Okay.
On page 8, there's an explanation of the 3 approaches to value, and that we only considered the cost approach to be applicable because the sales comparison and income approaches have too many intangibles that would be within the sales or the income, and it would be too hard for us to pull it out, so we use the cost approach only.
Okay.
If you turn to page 9 and look at arriving at the assessed value.
Not that I want to put words in your mouth, but
yes.
I would have described that a little differently. Income is generally not applicable. Your sales, and you correct me if I'm wrong at the end of this soliloquy, sales, while it is possible, often they are less reliable because you can get, it's hard to get similar transactions and then make all the necessary adjustments, especially for robotics equipment, I would imagine. Is that, you know, as opposed to you didn't consider it, you did consider it, and it was less reliable. Is that
yeah,
correct?
Yes, that is correct. And the fact that it's our dispute is over the robotics equipment, it would be very difficult to find any comparable data for that.
Right. I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but I think
no,
that,
you are
that,
correct,
that was
sir.
What you meant, I thought. Okay. Go ahead.
On page 9, arriving at the assessed value, we arrived at the assessed value using a mass appraisal system. Our CAMA system calculates the assessed value by multiplying the original cost supplied to us by the taxpayer, and we use an industry index factor, which will result in the replacement cost new of the asset. The replacement cost new is then multiplied by the depreciation percentage good, which then equals the assessed value. I have included a sample DR-405 and the instructions that come with the DR-405 in Exhibit A. The instructions on the DR 405 do explain that the taxpayer should include the estimate of fair market value, the original installed cost, the asset description, the age, the year acquired, and the condition for each asset listing. Next, on page 9, if you look at the tangible personal property tax return heading, I have stated that the taxpayer's DR 405 was filed timely on March 31st of 2021, and it was filed in a paper format. Walmart had stated that they had emailed us a detailed spreadsheet in April of 2021. However, it was explained to us that it was sent to somebody that had retired and we never received it. We were provided, however, with that detailed spreadsheet in September of 2021. And the DR 405 and spreadsheet that was filed by the petitioner are shown in Exhibits B and C. Continuing on the bottom of that page, Walmart's total filing was an original cost of $156,761,541 with a fair market value for the total filing of $70,582,875. And I want to point out that their total fair market value is only 45% of the original cost. Their additions for this tax year's filing had an original cost of $61,631,549 with a fair market value of $37,089,746, which is 60% of the original cost. You will turn to page 10, please. I have stated here that Walmart did not report the condition of the equipment or the life used to determine the fair market value.
I'm sorry, let me pause real briefly. You're talking about a current fair market value of 70 million and change on page 9?
Yes, for their total filing, when they file the original cost.
Sure,
and then the fair market value.
Just my question, you had the just value noted as 107 million on page 1. What's the other 37 million?
That was our determination. That was our assessed value. You're saying the 156 million, where did that
come from? No, the other way around. You've got 70 million in total fair market value now, and the assessment for 2021 is 107 million.
So the 107 is our fair market value.
Right.
The 70 million is their fair market
value.
Got
it. Thank you. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. That's okay. The petitioner's estimate of fair market value?
Correct.
Petitioner, is that correct? Your estimate of fair market value for the subject TPP is $70,582,875?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead. Continue.
Okay. If you'll turn to page 10. I have stated that Walmart did not report the condition of the equipment or the life used to determine their fair market value. When we process the return, just so you're aware, the original cost when we took their figures and entered it into our system, the original cost totaled $156,886,586. Which was a difference of $125,045 from the taxpayer's return. The reason for this is there's a few reasons. The assets that were listed in our system, some of them were not listed on the return and they were never listed as disposed. So when that occurs, we roll them over.
Okay.
Also, there were assets listed on their return, but for some reason they were not listed in our system. And these are prior to being new to that year, so they were older assets.
Petitioner, are you contesting the $125,000 difference in this hearing today?
The only thing we're petitioning is the robotic equipment.
No. Well, actually, you're petitioning the entire, we can't parse it. Really? So you're actually, it's the whole TPTP return you're contesting. You may be just talking about that one component, but it's my job to look at all of it. But specifically in this instance, are you contesting the $125,000 difference? It's a small.
Yes.
You said no?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Okay. So, okay. So when you get to that point, just talk about those items or show me where there's a list or something so we can figure that out. It's a small percentage of the overall, I know. If you have a little, so spend a little bit of time during this presentation on that $125,000, because they said yes instead of no.
All right, I'll have to look back in our notes and okay. See if we broke it out specifically.
Okay, and I'm guessing the petitioner didn't either.
No.
Okay.
The third reason would be that when we received the return this year, the assets had a different original cost. Then it was filed in prior years, so we always go back to the original historical cost that was initially filed.
Okay.
We don't keep changing it year after year. Another reason that I didn't list in here is I believe they had some negative numbers on their returns, and we can't put in a negative number, and we can't go back if there was, for some reason, a change in their original cost for whatever reason to a prior year and make that change. So we just exclude them.
Oh, you exclude the negative numbers?
Correct.
So you're excluding their change in their original base cost, if they have one?
Sometimes they do it for...
there could be a lot of reasons why, but...
Yeah, sometimes they do it.
You don't have to tell me why. But.
I've been told before they get a rebate. Well, I can't go back 3, 4, 5 years and make that change.
Okay.
We always just go with the initial original cost that
sure.
was filed.
Petitioner, if you have, did you submit any information on supporting why you changed original base costs in some instances?
We're unclear in regards to can you repeat that question?
Yeah, sure. The property appraiser is stating that on your spreadsheet, I'm assuming, or in your paperwork, you had changed some original base costs from when you initially filed them, and that they're stating that they can't change it on their end. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I do understand that they don't normally change it on their end. My question to you though is, if there were changes in the original base costs, have you submitted documentation as to why your newly stated original base costs are more appropriate than your old ones? I'm assuming in your 15 pages that's not what you're talking about, but I'm going to ask the question.
We have not addressed that in the evidence packet, no, but the discrepancy ties that to our financials. So what we reported ties that to our financials.
Okay. Well, I can tell you with an absence of documentation on your part, I'll rule in favor of the property appraiser on this one in all likelihood. I'm not making any determinations now. They do have documentation. You didn't submit on this one factor. You didn't submit documentation showing where your new number is more correct. Thus, I'll default to the old costs. If you, in the future, or however you want to, you know, petition, it does take documentation to support a change like that of some kind. I don't think this is large. I don't think we're talking about large amounts of money. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I haven't seen them. Okay, property appraiser, go ahead and continue.
To make it clear, we didn't change the cost basis at any point. If we've segregated the cost basis into separate categories, that's what we want to make clear.
Well, this is a relatively small amount of money. I'm talking to property appraiser at the moment. This is hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of dollars, or are we talking millions of dollars?
The difference?
Yeah.
$125,000 and change.
Okay, well, but that's all of them, all of those factors combined.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. I don't have any other questions on this one. I think I don't want to beat a dead horse too much. Petitioner, you are stating why you did it. I understand that. These are very fine points, and it's going to take more than a verbal statement for me to support that you're contesting that your number is more accurate because for this $125,000 out of $156 million and change. a verbal statement from you broadly why you did it is not going to be as persuasive as the original filed information and the 280-page package of detail that I have from the property appraiser at the moment. If you really want to contest this and would like a high chance of it actually going through and being, you know, agreed to, I would need more detail on that than just, you know, you recategorized some things and I don't know how or why or even which items we're talking about. So essentially the lack of detail on this is going to probably make this $125,000 stay. And, you know,
we understand. Thank you.
You're welcome. Continue.
Please turn to your tab, that's tab B, and go to page 36.
Yep.
Okay, once you're there, there are two items, two sections, I should say, towards the bottom that say class 11, computerized manufacturing M and E. One has an original cost of over $15 million. That's a piece of robotics equipment.
Yep.
The other one has a original cost of over $37 million. That's a piece of robotics equipment. I'm just identifying everywhere it is for you.
Okay.
And then if you will, turn to page 40. And look at class 13 conveyors, the third line down, the item that has an original cost of over $4 million, that's robotics equipment.
Actually, the third line down, that's large scale tilting.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the one, okay. All
yep.
Right.
And then proceed to page 43. At the bottom, it says class 13 warehouse racks. The first and second listing with an original cost of over $14 million, and the second one with an original cost of over $23 million, that is also robotics equipment.
All right.
Now, if you will turn to tab C, which is your exhibit C, this is the spreadsheet that we were supplied with in September of 2021. And if you will turn to page 76, I'm going to identify here where I could find the robotics equipment. At the top of page 76, it says large scale lifting equipment and access. Okay, that's one that I could find. And if you will turn to page 91. At about the middle of the page, it says large scale lifting equipment and access. And it has a cost of over $38
million. Yep.
Okay. And then after you've looked at that, if you will turn back to page 10 in the case synopsis, please.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay, regarding the equipment index factors, we use the index factors that were compiled by the Florida Department of Revenue, which are located in Exhibit D. Warehousing was used for this equipment. Under the life expectancy guidelines, our life tables are based on the Florida Department of Revenue life expectancy guidelines and Marshall Valuation Service. And they are shown in exhibits E and F. If you can, turn to page 11.
Okay.
Now, I did include the Florida DOR Life Expectancy Guidelines and Marshall Valuation Service in those two exhibits I mentioned. On the prior page, I kind of gave a summary of everything that we looked at in reference to the distribution center.
Okay.
And then this page, page 11, shows our office lifes that we use, our own tables that were developed from that information.
Are any of your internal life expectancies longer than the other range? Do they fall within the ranges or lower?
Yes, they fall within the ranges.
Okay. Anything at the high end of the range?
We do have the, if you look down under 13,
yep,
121, the manufacturing process equipment that has a 14-year life.
Yep.
I would say that's probably the only thing that I could see that would be beyond the Florida DOR or Marshall Valuation guidelines.
Okay. What? How big a percentage is that of our package, of the, you know, of the total $107 million?
Probably a lower percentage, because previously that was where the adjustment came in. We had these on a 14. I felt they should be at a 10-year, so I put them down. So,
ballpark? What percentage do you think is falling under 14 now? I can look later, but
gosh, I would say less than 5 or 10%.
Okay, all right.
When I looked at anything that may have still been on a 14, I mean, it was stuff that was under $50,000.
Okay.
If that helps.
It depends on how many items there are, but yes, it does help.
Okay.
It's part of the equation.
Okay. Okay. If you will, please turn to page 12.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about the depreciation. We use the untrended depreciation schedule that's supplied by the Florida Department of Revenue, and that is located in Exhibit G. We have considered all forms of depreciation by lowering the life of some equipment currently and in the past. And if you will look at kind of towards the top of that page, you can see how I've shown the changes that we've made over the years in order to take all of these things into consideration. Because it comes into question a lot that the Florida Department of Revenue tables do not consider all forms of depreciation and obsolescence.
Sure.
So by reducing the lives, we feel that we have considered that.
Okay. And under the decrease column, is this a decrease during the discussion and the hearings, or is this a decrease in the, what is the decrease number? Instead of me guessing, what is the decrease number specifically telling us?
It's telling us, well, during TRIM, we had a conversation and we decided that, you know, for example, the control systems and scanners were on a 6-year life. We didn't feel like we were properly considering the depreciation obsolescence, so we reduced it to a 4-year life.
Okay, so that was the decrease is the amount of the assessment decrease because of that.
Correct.
Okay, thank
Correct.
You.
Correct.
All right.
Now, on page 12, I start to explain, which we kind of touched on, that for the 2021 tax year, we did make an adjustment. We offered to reduce the large-scale lifting equipment, which they are referring to as robotics equipment, from a 14-year life to a 10-year life, and we tried to do this to settle our value dispute. The petitioner did not accept this. However, we, in good faith, felt that we offered it and we felt that it should be a 10-year, so we went ahead and still made the adjustment.
Okay. As a side note, I'm glad you did that.
And on page 12,
and by that I mean I'm glad you, if you thought you made a mistake and you corrected for it, it shouldn't be a negotiation at that point. It should be done.
Okay.
So, in my personal opinion, I would look at it, if you didn't, I would look at that with a fine-tooth comb.
Okay, good to know. On page 12, I have included some articles that are included in exhibits H, I, and J regarding why I feel that all of the equipment should be on a 10-year life. And if you will look at exhibit H for me.
Okay.
and turn to page 105.
Okay.
I'm just going to bring up, I've read these articles and just want to bring up some points for things that you can keep in mind, obviously, when you're making your decision and after, you know, both of us, both the petitioner and myself have kind of gone through everything. Mm-hmm. On the top of the page, it is an article. So first of all, this is an article about Walmart planning to automate 25 distribution centers with Symbotic, which is the company that has sold and developed and everything their robotics equipment. The sentence there, second sentence, says technology will be applicable to other retailers as well. The argument has been made to me that the lives on these equipment should be very low because this has been specifically built for Walmart. And I'm under the impression from a lot of the research that I've done and reading that I've done that this is not the case.
Okay.
But that is maybe something they can clarify.
Petitioner, how long have these items been in place, more or less, and how long has Walmart been using them?
This is a proprietary system that's just been developed in the last 5 years, and we just finished phase one of our proof of concept. So, I mean, it's been, it's extremely new.
Okay, so it's it's relatively cutting edge. Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
Yeah.
The second paragraph says how Symbotic has worked with other large retailers, including Target. And then if you will go to Exhibit I, please,
okay,
and turn to page 108.
Petitioner, did you supply any documentation to suggest that your robotics equipment systems are not working? I mean, are they failing you?
Our 1.0 system that went in a few years ago was our proof of concept, and that was kind of our test model, and that has been currently is being decommissioned.
Okay.
And 2.0 system is running at its highest capacity right now.
Okay. And is this facility using 1.0 or 2.0?
It is using 2.0 right now. That is going to be the system in place. 1.0 is being taken out and sold at scrap metal.
Got it. But is 1.0 in this building, in this facility?
There's still parts of it, but the production has been turned off of it.
No. Okay.
So it's still there. It's just not.
How many millions of 1.0 are in the building is what I'm trying to get at. I mean, if you've taken it out mostly, and and it's not part of that. My question is, how much of the 107 million is the 1.0?
46, around about.
46 what?
In cost. Million.
Okay.
It's all of the 2018, yeah.
All the 2018 is 1.0.
Okay. And did you send documentation are you stating or do you have support that those systems are failing? Yes, I know you're upgrading to 2.0, but what do we have? What do you have support that those systems are failing, or why are you decommissioning them? Is this just an upgrade in software, slight tweaks and improvements? I mean, it's a large percentage of your overall assessment. It's important to both you. It's important to the public. So this is an important part of this hearing. So do you have support that 1.0 is failing?
Yes, we do.
What was that?
Yes, we do.
Okay, I'll wait for that on your part of the presentation. Go ahead.
Thank you.
If you'll turn to page 108 in Exhibit I.
Yep.
Okay, so this first paragraph discusses how the average lifetime of an industrial robot in an industry has an average of 6 to 7 year life because of the advances in IT hardware and software. Further down, it discusses that the mechanics of the robots, depending on the industrial use, have a life of 10 to 20 years. So I wanted to touch on this because my thinking in, and I'm going to get into even more detail here in a second, but my thinking was when I looked at their filings and their detailed spreadsheet that they sent, it is, to me, not very descriptive, and I'll explain that more in a minute. So from our side, we see that a lot where people are filing and they put stuff in incorrect categories, they label them wrong, and as auditors, it's difficult for us, but we have to make a determination. Mm-hmm. And the spreadsheet that they sent really didn't shed any light on that for me. So even though it might say that the IT side is a 6 to 7 year life and the
mechanical
part is a 10 to 20, I felt that by bringing everything back to a 10, I was kind of trying to bring it to the middle because I couldn't get the breakdown.
Sure. Have you seen this equipment before, physically?
I have not. Doug Mack that was sworn in has seen the equipment.
Okay. All right. Did you guys request to see it this year?
Doug Mack and another staff was out there in February of 2021.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we look at stuff like January 1st, so we were able to get out there in February.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Now, if you will turn to Exhibit J, page 113, please. All I wanted to point out here is at the very beginning of this article, it just, this is another company, but it states that most of this robotics equipment does experience over 10 years of service.
Yeah.
Okay, now if you will, go back to page 12 of the case synopsis.
All right, I'm there.
Okay, this is just excerpts of what I had shown you in their return of the robotics equipment on the bottom of page 12 and over to the top of page 13. And as can be seen from these filings, it's my opinion that the equipment descriptions are basic in general. While we were auditing the return because of this, it was initially our opinion that the items should be placed in the same category using the 14-year life. Of course, we've discussed that we did reduce that to the 10. Mm-hmm. If we had categorized these items, how they filed them, the items numbered 1 and 2 would have a 6-year or a 10-year life. We would have had to make that determination. Item number 3 would have had a 9-year life, and item number 4 would have had a 7-year life. So basically, we made that adjustment, like I just explained, kind of came to the middle at the 10-year. Again, I don't feel these are very descriptive. They're not broken down. You know, in the future, many conversations I've had with Ms. King, I have explained to her that I will be contacting her and asking for a very detailed breakdown, because without that, I don't know how we can distinguish what is what.
Yeah, you do the best you can.
So if you will turn to page 14. Basically on pages 14 through, bear with me here, 24, all this is an Excel printout from our system. It should be quite similar to the property record card of the listing of all the equipment once we had entered it into our system.
Okay.
On page 25, in conclusion, we arrived at the assessment of the TPP using the 8 criteria as stated in the Florida statutes. We also follow the Florida state statutes and Florida DOR standard measures of value for tangible personal property appraisal guidelines. We have considered all 3 approaches to value, but we've recognized the cost approach would be the most reliable indicator of the value for the subject. And we utilize the cost approach to value the property for 2021. Now, there is additional exhibits in here. It's emails, the standards of measure, just all our different tables and everything you would need to look at, mm-hmm, to help with your decision.
Okay, thank you. that it?
That is it.
Petitioner, please support that you over-assessed.
I'm sorry, please say that again?
I said, please support that you over-assessed. The floor is yours.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. My name is Moiz Mohammed, and I'm the one speaking at the moment. I'll be introducing the outline and the plan for our Brooksville facility in Hernando County. So if you look at page 2 of our presentation, do you have that in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. This is a timeline of the project and the estimated overall symbiotic autonomous robotic system investment that we're making in Brooksville. You know, as you've heard, the system is broken out into 4 big component parts. The symbiotic system 1.0, which is currently in place, which has been fully decommissioned and is, you know, at a point that's being fully scrapped. Symbiotic 2.0 is currently in place. That's about a $54 million system.
Bear with me. So, but system 1.0 is still in place at the facility, correct?
Yes, but it's fully decommissioned.
Okay. So you're not using it, you're saying?
It's not in operation, no.
Okay. Now, when you switch from the system 1.0 to the 2.0, is this a computer upgrade that is using the mechanical equipment, or are you physically taking these out of the building and not using the mechanical equipment?
Physically removing the equipment and not using the equipment.
When do you think you're going to have it moved out?
This year.
Okay. All right. So really, this is a since it's going to be removed from the facility, this is a discuss. This argument, this whole line is for this year only, really, because next year it'll be gone.
Yes, but the point that we're trying to make is that the life of that asset has only been, we've only had it in place for 4 or 5 years. And we've been told that this equipment, by our engineering team, by Symbotics themselves, that this equipment is only going to last 4 or 5 years, and then we're going to constantly be replacing big component parts of the asset.
Great. Did you supply those engineering technical opinions? I mean, I'm sure they sent it to you in a 100-page document. Did you supply
right.
that information?
Right. So they're SOW documents. Those are all of those documents we provided in a detailed breakdown of the actual cost component parts.
No. If your engineering team has recommended that you scrap $50 million out of this one facility alone and replace it with a $54 million of new facility, I'm guessing they gave you a 1 to 500-page study that supports that. I don't know that they did, but I can't imagine if I was in management that I would not ask for one of those. Did you supply such documentation that the 1.0, see, you can get rid of 1.0 information, 1.0 equipment that is still usable to put something in that is better. My question is, if there's a flaw in 1.0 that makes it unusable, there should be a study on that. This is not a $100,000 piece of equipment. This is, you guys probably own billions of dollars of this. So, That's my question. Do you have support that 1.0 is not usable, and you know, or is this just a internal management decision on your part? So
we don't have any support that says that it was a proof of concept system that was put right. into place, but we've never seen any sort of documentation,
okay,
or formal documentation that I have.
Do you use 1.0 in other facilities?
No, this system is proprietary to, this is one of our first systems that we've ever put in place.
Okay.
We're debating on rolling this out to other facilities.
Okay.
So as you'll see that in the next couple of years, we're going to be rolling this out and putting additional investment in this exact same facility.
Okay, so this is a test facility for you.
You can say that.
I mean, so the 1.0 was only used in this facility? And
yes.
Okay, interesting. All right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you answered most of my question, so go ahead and continue.
Okay. So the Symbotic 1.0 system, the $46 million, that's being fully decommissioned, and it's, we're moving on from that. In place of that, we're installing Symbotic 2.0, which is there, and Symbotic 2.5 will be coming in the next year. It's another $25 million investment. And then we have plans to install Symbotic 3.0, which is also another $110 million. So this, the equipment that's coming in 2.5, this $25 million, that's the system that's going to fully replace 1.0.
Okay.
And that's where we get our estimated life for 4 to 5 years.
Now, let me pause you again real briefly. Is 2.0 and or 2.5, are they still proof of concept, or are you now you starting, is now the debate within your offices about rolling out to other facilities? Where are you in that process?
Georgia will be our next. That's currently being put into that DC currently, and that one will be starting. The 1.0 proof of concept testing for Georgia is happening as well.
Oh, so you're going to install 1.0 in Georgia?
Yeah, so all the 1.0s, they're all going to be proof of concept. It's going to be the testing to see how the system's running within that facility. 1.0 in Brooksville was only producing about 70%, and so they ended up taking that out a lot earlier due to it not functioning the way it had intended.
Okay, so you're talking about at a facility in Georgia.
This is Brooksville.
This is Brooksville.
Right. I know this is Brooksville. I thought you were suggesting that 1.0 was. So what's happening in Georgia? I'm sorry. My question was whether or not your 2.0 and 2.5 is another layer of proof of concept, or whether or not you are starting to roll this out to other facilities. And I don't know where Georgia came in, because you said 1.0 in Georgia, and that seemed to be contradictory.
No, these are not proof of concept.
Got it. So you 2.0 and 2.5 is planned to be a long-term thing then at this point.
At this point, we're anticipating that it's going to be a long-term thing, but because the equipment is so new and proprietary, we anticipate, and the engineers are anticipating, that this equipment is going to get replaced over the next few years. So it may not be a full proof of concept, but the assets themselves are going to be constantly iterated upon, because this is our first facility that we're fully automating.
Okay.
The distribution process.
Okay. Are there plans currently to put 2.0 and 2.5 into other facilities?
As long as it goes well. There are plans, yes.
So they're going to test it here again.
It's again another test, but it's predicated on the success of Brooksville.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So with that, we just wanted to kind of make clear that we're making a sizable investment into the community as well as the facility. We're not backing down with making investments. You know, we just wanted to make clear that for the last few years, the 1.0 system was sitting on a 14-year life, and we've been paying tax on a 14-year life for the 1.0 system, and then we are now decommissioning that, which is in less than 4 years.
Let me pause you real briefly. I know where you're coming from, and I can sympathize, but my job is not to look at the past year's ones. So that line
right.
of just that line of, wait, hear me out. That line of discussion is beyond my authority and will not enter into my thought processes. I have very strict control of how I think about these things. So I can't look at the past years, nor can I make any rulings based on hardship, and that's the way it's stated in the training and so forth. But what I mean by that is you're making a sizable investment in the community. That is not something that will come into my weighting and my thought processes at all. That would be completely inappropriate in my position. Every magistrate's a little bit different. Just assume there's absolutely zero emotion from my end. Okay?
we appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. It is my job.
So on page 3, it'll give you a little bit more color in regards to this equipment. I mean, this equipment that's being designed and used and invested in is extremely robotic in nature and highly autonomous. It's all software driven. You know, if you step back and actually segregated out the embedded software within the assets themselves, I mean, this is all scrap metal. And we wanted to kind of show you in this slide that the entire system is, it has these autonomous bots that are constantly being moved to move some of our product. And in the later slide, we'll talk, my colleague will talk a little bit more about some of the other component parts to it. But this software and this robotic equipment, it's leveraging some of the latest autonomous driving technology out there. These SimBots, they pivot on a dime, swiftly route to other SimBots, and they travel at speeds that haven't been used in the industry before. So when you're operating at such a high capacity, the wear and tear on this equipment is extremely high. And because of that wear and tear, we're coming back and explaining why we believe the life of these assets are much shorter than what the current 24-year-old depreciation tables used by the state of Florida actually account for.
Got it. And you have your presentation on this is nice. It's like a PowerPoint presentation. As a matter of fact, you might have done this in PowerPoint. My only, you know, I'm a very detail-oriented person. You don't have it here today, but you have an interesting argument. And I bet you've got hundreds of pages of backup for this that's highly technical. You didn't supply that to me. So that one of your weaknesses in this is I hear what you're saying, but you're not one of the engineers who designed. And I guess your role in this is, I don't have a lot of detail beyond what you're saying to me now, and the, you know, it's an important discussion, and I don't have the backup for it, is kind of where we're going to struggle a little bit with this. Your timeline is a good chart. This discussion is a little more tricky, but anyway, I hope that made sense.
No, and we appreciate that. You'll see a lot more detail later in our presentation.
Okay.
But from our goal here today was for you to understand and for us to explain why we believe this equipment is robotic in nature, autonomous in nature, why it uses highly sophisticated algorithms to make sure that this equipment actually is delivering the product that we need to deliver. And that's the message we wanted to convey. But later you will see a very detailed cost breakdown of all of the component parts.
All I was just trying to say is you underestimated me. You have an oversimplified discussion of your argument, and you might have been better served with more detail and less oversimplified for this part. This is a very important part of your argument, and you know, the backup isn't there. But okay, go ahead and continue. Once again, there's a lot of moving parts to this. Actually, as I said, your timeline is an important piece of that puzzle. I'm not going to have all of the pieces. I'm going to have to figure out what the puzzle shows with a subset of the pieces.
Right, and we hope that the cost breakdown will help. Will help kind of explain some of that.
Yep. Go ahead.
So moving on to page four, I'm going to go through kind of the process from an overall process standpoint of this equipment, the robotic equipment specifically. So as you can see from the pictures, they are highly robotic. And so the inbound, so as the cases come in, the robotic equipment breaks down the pallets, and then it moves into storage, all done via these SimBots that more or less maximize the density of the facility. And so as you can see from the pictures, it is highly autonomous. There are some people that are working with the equipment themselves, but highly computerized nature based on these pictures. And moving on to page five, from a process standpoint, then depending on the actual demand of the inventory at the facility, the SimBots will go retrieve it, all driven by the software that's proprietary to Walmart, developed through Symbotic. And then it'll move over to the outbound to then build, wrap, and label the pallets to leave the facility.
Okay.
If you turn to page 6, this is kind of the issue. And so you can see that $111 million that we talked about earlier is the total appraised value for the whole DC. $86 million of it is the robotic. That did change a little bit because of the appraiser bringing that all down to 10. And so the resolution, due to it being the highly advanced and kind of all that software embedded in it and the computerized nature of it, this is where we were making our, having the conversations with the appraisers in the beginning, and we were asking it to do the 4-year on those two computer line assets and then a 6-year on the M&E. And so even on their work papers, they have their conveyors on a 9-year life. And so we, you know, CB is kind of at a 6-year life because they're kind of being driven by the software. So we felt that that was, you know, a valid life to put that type of system on for the M&E. And if you turn to page 7, this is kind of what we are requesting. It kind of gives the breakdown of the 2021 total. You got the large scale lifting all at 86. Again, that is a little bit higher due to the recent change. And we're asking for it to be at $67 million based upon the new 4 and 6 requested year life.
Okay.
Page 8 gives you the kind of breakdown. You can see on the left-hand side, again, this evidence was sent to the county first, so we weren't able to update this. We got the 10-year proposal after all this. So this is still on our original appraised value. You can see that the 10-year was put on that computer equipment. I believe there was a negotiation, I believe a couple years ago, for that 10. And then you can see the rest of it were on kind of the 14-year life. And then on the right-hand side, you can see our requested value. Those computers were requesting them at a 4-year life. And then the M&E on a 6-year life with the requested percent good based upon the Florida DOR table.
And I would like to mention that we rendered, like previously we discussed, in the $70 million range, and the total requested value we're seeking is 92, but the Symbotic request is obviously what we've been discussing, but just want to be clear that that is what we discussed prior from a rendering standpoint. Is different than our requested value here from a total appraised value standpoint.
I'm sorry. You were saying you were in your negotiations with the county, you were talking about a higher number. Is that what you're saying?
I was just talking about earlier when we discussed the $70 million render value, that is different than what we're ultimately requesting here. So we understood what the appraiser was talking about on some of her arguments.
Okay.
And so, again, the issue at hand is the Symbotic value.
Okay.
Strictly. Just wanted to be clear on that from earlier in the hearing.
Yeah, I believe what you're trying to say is that you agreed with some of their concepts, but not most of them. Correct. Okay.
And one more point that we'd like to make on slide number 8, you can see that over 85% of the cost of this Symbotic system is on a 14-year life. We understand that subsequently, since the presentation, that a part of it was moved to 10-year life. But what happens is we go through an intensive process where we actually look, and you'll see that on page 9, where we actually go through line by line on every cost component so that we can actually see what the wireless structure looks like, the server room controls, the FLIS, the bot lifts, the bots. You'll see all of these component parts, which you know, when an asset is capitalized, you don't get to see that asset as a property tax associate. We get these assets, you know, capitalized into our system, and we see massive line items of $20, $30, $40 million. Well, we work with our engineering team to make sure that we can find the breakdown of the component parts so that we're able to classify the assets in the right asset classes. And that's what we're attempting to do on slide number 9, where we show you that, you know, we took the overall cost, we broke it into component parts, and we classified them in the most appropriate class that they should belong in.
Okay.
And should you be so inclined, on page 10, there are some links which, you know, when you have time to deliberate, there are links here that you can actually type in and see the actual videos of how this equipment operates.
I'm not allowed to do independent research. Weirdly, if you had handed us a disc, that wouldn't be independent research at that point. Me going online to watch this might be construed as independent research. It's a weird fine point, but that we don't normally get to, but I'll mull it over.
Okay. Well, thank you.
No problem.
And the last 6 pages or so, 5 pages, are the symbiotic system themselves. And again, it's a very detailed breakdown of all the component parts that make up the transfer decks, all the component parts that make up the product aisles, the rear access systems, the machinery equipment, computer equipment, server rooms, controls. You'll see in detail how all of these assets break down into their component listings and parts.
Okay. Anything else?
That is it from our side.
All right. And let me just for the record, for my own record, for hearing later, because I will hear this whole thing again while going over all the data. This is a lot of, I'll have a lot of homework on this one. But just so that for everyone's edification and my own as well, one of the concerns I have is that you're discontinuing the 1.0. I don't have detail as to why you're discontinuing it. So, and you're making business decisions for essentially all of Walmart's future going forward. So, without that detail, I don't know if this is, for instance, I cannot take into account that this facility is owned and run by Walmart. For ad valorem taxation, the name of the company goes away. I can take into account that there are other Walmarts around the world and that it's a big corporation, blah, 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 but I can't factor in that this store and this equipment is being used by Walmart. For instance, it may be a business decision to discontinue this, not because it's not working, but because you think you can do better, and this $50 million is just a small component of the $1, $2, $3, $5 billion of this equipment that you envision using. Thus, your decision on this might not be that the equipment isn't valuable, it may be a business decision based upon all of Walmart, and that cannot be part of my thought process. I'm not sure if you followed all of that, but that part, and I don't have detail to prove one way or the other on that, but that's a concern. You also have, this is proprietary, you said. That's great. You've made a business decision not to sell this proprietary equipment, the software and the concepts. That may very well be the smartest thing for you to do. Once again, that decision, that business decision, and the fact that this is operated and run by Walmart cannot be part of my thought process. So from my perspective, you can sell this equipment and you can sell the proprietary system if you want to, and I have to make my decisions based upon the fact that you could, not you know, obviously you're looking at a much bigger game that goes beyond ad valorem taxation, if you follow me. Plus, we don't, this is new equipment and new technology. We don't necessarily know here today, and I certainly don't have the detail, as to what its actual real life would be. Let's just say this is not working up to what you would like it to be, but maybe it could work at 60, 70, 80% capacity. Maybe it could go for 5, 10, 20 years. Maybe, it, you know, maybe you've, you know, did you make this, you know, I guess no, none of us really know because it hasn't really been tested. It's new. So there's a lot of unknowns here and several factors that I can't put into my analysis, because these are business decisions of the owner, not necessarily a ad valorem taxation concept that we can build in. I hope that made sense. But these are concepts I'm going to have to wrestle with when I'm going over the analysis. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk about them before this hearing is over, because these are important components of our discussion here today. And since I just threw that out there, do you want to start? Do you have any comments on that? Did that make sense to you?
Yes, it makes sense. But we also want to make clear that the way this equipment is operating, I mean, just given what's happening in terms of supply chain and what's happening with the shortages, I mean, we are operating this equipment at its full and highest capacity, mm-hmm. and sometimes even pushing this equipment to its limits. And so we're seeing additional wear and tear on this asset that we didn't anticipate in many ways as well. So, you know, as much as I appreciate that the asset is still functional at 50, 60, 70%, but these assets don't operate at 50, 60, 70%. We're essentially opening up a third shift, right? So instead of running 2 8-hour shifts, we're operating 3 8-hour shifts and trying to make sure that this equipment is, this equipment is moving at its highest and full nameplate capacity. And so for us, you know, it's not just a 60, 70% production or use of this equipment. And so, again, we just wanted to at least make you aware of that as well.
Yeah, I get it. And some of that backup I don't have. Because believe me, in TPP, you always hear, we're using this, you know, you hear one of two arguments. Either we're using it so hard it's wearing faster, or we're not using it at all, so you shouldn't value it. There's almost never that mythical thing in the middle that's just right. It's kind of like, you know, so that's a, it's one of those discussions that really does need some backup, and it's, I'm not saying it's easy to do to get that backup, but it's a common argument that is hard to support conclusively. But I do, I don't at all disagree. Some of the third shift operations, that some of that is a business decision, but it's also why you put this equipment here. So I will certainly, the fact that you're using it harder and longer hours is part of the reason you made the investment. So that's, whether it's one store or all of Walmart, that's still a valid, strongly valid reasoning process. So don't, I won't discount that in the slightest.
Thank you.
No problem. Property appraiser, would you like to make any comments on that soliloquy of mine?
No, I do have further, but not on that.
Okay. Property appraiser, rebuttal. Petitioner, are you finished? You said you were finished with your first presentation, correct?
Correct. There was one more point that we wanted to make in terms of our rebuttal.
Sure, but we're on property appraiser rebuttal at the moment. So property appraiser rebuttal.
Okay, there's a few things that I would like to, my chief deputy and I would like to have put on the record that I'm just going to ask or state, and then there is a little bit of rebuttal. I want to make sure I'm understanding correctly that the 1.0 system that was dated as of 2018 was in use on January 1st, because we kind of got into what's going on now. So I want to get some, make sure I'm clear on that.
That's a question for
yes,
the, it was in use on January 1st?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. I know that you haven't, or the special magistrate has not been supplied with this, but in their packet, they had shown their depreciation based on the 4 and 6 year lives using our tables. I was supplied with a table during trim time by Ms. King that Walmart uses, and I would like to submit it to the magistrate. Tammy, it's table 421 that you had emailed me.
I'm sorry, Melissa, can you repeat that?
I would like to submit the depreciation schedule that you had provided to me through email, probably back in September, and it was table 4.21.
And you don't have to ask her permission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you put it forward.
Okay.
And then I ask if there's an objection.
Okay.
And then I rule on admissibility.
Okay. And I've cut it out of my packet because I don't want you to see my notes.
Okay.
So I apologize for that. Oh, yeah. Okay.
You can bring a little piece of paper. It doesn't matter.
That's copy fine. This separately or hold on to it.
Well, it's here now. We don't have to wait. So, okay. So, the property appraiser is putting forward and requesting to put on the record two tables, 4.21, and then an assessed value comparison chart. And this was property appraiser. This was data that she sent to you earlier in the year.
The depreciation table 4.21 was sent to me in September of 2021 because I had requested a depreciation schedule because I was never supplied with. On their return, the condition or the lives that they're using for their various assets.
Okay.
So I requested, and this is what she sent me. The assessed value comparison chart is something that I have compiled.
Okay, all right. So, petitioner, do you know what she's talking about? Tammy, do you know what the chart she's talking about?
Melissa, is it the, depreciation table that shows like BVA?
You got age category on the left side, yeah. 1 through 15 years, and then categories of equipment. Table. It's called table 4.21.
Is that the one that has, that should be the one that says like computers are in the, that has like all the depreciation percentages, is that the
it
one?
It does, yes.
Yeah, so that is our depreciation we use. We had an independent study done. And that is what we utilize for our depreciation for Walmart.
Okay. So the question to you, though, is do you object? She's asking that this be put on the record as rebuttal evidence. Are you do you have any objection?
No objection. It's irrelevant, but yeah, no objection.
Okay. All right. So with no objection, it's considered it. Oh, I'm sorry. She also has a second chart. I'm guessing you analyzed that data and then you made a chart from the data.
I made a chart based on what they filed on their DR 405 and then what they submitted in their VAB packet.
So is this chart based upon the
data that you already have? Yes.
No. Is it based on the petitioner's submitted evidence here, or is it more based on the prior data submission?
It is based on the DR 405 that has been submitted as evidence in my packet and the taxpayer's VAB packet that I have put together.
And what is it trying to show?
I'm trying to show that basically when their DR 405 was filed in comparison with their VAB packet, again, what and I'll kind of go into this a little bit more, their assessed values are just different. Their fair market values that they've determined are different from their filing to now, and there's no consistency.
Okay.
So I wanted to show you that.
Chart one, with no objection from the petitioner, is considered admissible. There are two separate pieces of data now, because this is a you compiling.
Yes.
Petitioner, the second chart, you heard what she had stated, the purpose of the second chart was. And what information went into it, your own data, but she compiled it and is presenting it in a tangible format. Do you have any objection to the recompiling of your data chart? She can still testify on it verbally, regardless, but do you have any objection to the inclusion of this recompiling chart the property appraiser is putting forward?
We object. We can't see what she's looking at, and it's tough to understand what depreciation table she's speaking about.
Yep, I that is what I expected you to say. And I don't necessarily disagree. I'm not going to be ruling on admissibility now.
I can email it since they're not here.
No, they're objecting.
Okay.
So I will rule on admissibility.
Okay.
Upon further discussion and communication. So, but you can definitely talk about. Regardless, you can talk about what you're getting at here.
Okay. Okay. So, as you can see, and I have explained, when they filed their initial return, there was no condition or life used for each asset that was listed. We asked for that information to help us better audit and value the assets. Mm-hmm. That was not supplied. So, naturally, in conversations with Ms. King, I asked for this table 4.21, which is what Walmart uses to for their depreciation schedule. The point I'm getting at here is
and that's what they what's what you think they use for their internal depreciation schedule?
I don't know, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. I have tried, I ran a big spreadsheet and tried to figure out, based on their filing on their DR-405, the determination of the fair market value of each asset and the category it was under, and I have tried to determine where the life that they're using and the depreciation they're using, and in most cases, it does not match up with this table I was provided with. I was still never provided with the lives.
Let me pause you real briefly. Tammy, do you want to comment on that? Why the chart's not working when she's trying? You heard her confusion as to trying to use that chart. Can you shed some light?
So our proposal though is based upon like the DOR. Like we're not asking for you all to accept our rendered value. The BBA tables that we supplied her with, actually, if you look at that, the computer licensing at 1 year is like a 51%. And honestly, what we're asking for at that 4 year is, it's higher, it's an 83%.
So this is your own internal modeling, I guess? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, that's our internal modeling that we use to benchmark our own opinions of value, but we obviously take things into account when we start working with the assessor, and in this appraiser, and in this instance, we actually are agreeing with the appraiser. We're just asking for a different life, and we're continuing to agree on the Florida Department of Revenue table.
Okay.
And we're not asking to change the actual depreciation percentages.
All right. Thanks. We're just at the moment we're digging into that first chart and what it means and why the numbers don't match up with. And you answered that, so thank you. Go ahead and continue, property appraiser.
Okay. The next point some of this I'm putting on the record for a reason in case this were to go further. I'm also wanting it to be brought to your attention. Mm-hmm. What I've been trying to state is when Walmart has filed, sent me their spreadsheets, I am like feeling like I'm going blind trying to audit these accounts. I don't get a whole lot of information. I don't get a whole lot of description. There's a lot of confusion. And again, like I think I said this earlier, in the future, I will be requesting that. Mm-hmm. So furthermore, initially they had requested that all of their robotics equipment be put on a 3-year life, and I was going off of this table that was supplied. Now they're asking for a 4 and a 6 year life. Then at the point that we reduced it to a 10-year life, in negotiations they wanted us to reduce it more and bring it down to an 8-year life. Furthermore, what I have done is this assessed value comparison chart. I have shown the original cost that was filed on their return on the DR-405 of the robotics equipment, which they are calling large-scale lifting equipment. I have shown the property appraiser's assessed value. That assessed value is after our adjustment. I have shown the taxpayer's DR-405 assessed value, and then the taxpayer's VAB assessed value. The point I'm trying to make here again, no consistency. I just feel like there's a lot of confusion, and I'm putting this on the record because in the future, I'm gonna request more clarification and less confusion from the taxpayer. The only thing other thing that I have is that, again, I want to express that Their additions this year were over $61 million. According to my calculations, over $52 million was the robotics equipment. But their total fair market value for the total distribution center was a little over $70 million. So that causes concern, and that's all I have.
All right, petitioner, rebuttal, and rebuttal of the rebuttal.
A couple points that we'd like to make in terms of just some of the evidence that was presented. You know, the article that was presented in terms of the lifing of the assets and the robotic arms, that's not relevant data in terms of our actual equipment. I mean, that was a study that was done in Bulgaria, and even in that study, it talks about, you know, the lifing of the assets based on market data when we were told that she is using only a cost approach to manage the actual cost or value of the property. So from our standpoint, I think that, you know, when we see articles that are presented in the marketplace as evidence of the life of our equipment, we take pause. And we wanted to make sure that today, in our evidence, we're providing you the actual detailed component parts of it. And so you have a better understanding of where we are coming from in terms of the value of the assets. Another part, or...
Just for the record, thank you for putting the clarification about the Bulgarian aspect. From my perspective, I like data. It is extremely rare, although TPP sometimes gets there, where I have more than I want. So, you know, the question of its relevancy is something I have to determine. But if I didn't have it, I couldn't even make that question. So I am glad to have it.
Another thing we wanted to, you know, make a point about is that anything that we're discussing today outside of the robotic equipment is irrelevant. In our opinion, you know, all of our discussion today is just about the lifing of the robotic equipment. And all we're asking for is a reduced life of these assets given the evidence that we provided today.
Okay, and my job is to look at the entire assessment. I'm not allowed to do what you're suggesting. I that is not my job. My job is to look at all of it and not just, it's inappropriate to break apart just one piece and only look at one piece. So I have to look at the big picture. And that is my job. And often in TPP, it seems like you can do that, but in reality, I do. I'm looking at all of it, not just the robotic.
I mean, if you're, then you would actually be looking at the value as a unit versus the value as just the equipment. And that's the reason why.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, there's a fair number of millions of dollars of equipment that are not the robotic. Just because we haven't spent a lot of time talking about them doesn't mean they're not important to me. And doesn't mean that's not a significant part of my job, even though we have not talked about them much. I have a 200.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why we withdrew. I mean, I spoke with Melissa and I told her when we were first having kind of these informal conversations, and, you know, she received the evidence and I reached out to her and kind of wanted to paint like a bigger, like a better picture for her. Mm-hmm. To kind of go over this. She did look at the videos that we provided on page 10. And so she was able to kind of see how all this equipment works and,
sure,
you know, piecing together, you know, what the components are like and kind of having that conversation with her initially. And I told her that, you know, we're the lifing on all the other assets, you know, we're happy with that. I mean, they look great. And so I went ahead and withdrew the other
four.
And so, it's just getting the life.
It's one TPP account. And my job is to look at the one TPP account, and it's all of those pieces together. I'm not sure if you're trying to, you know, convince me to just look at the robotics. I mean, that's my job is to look at this TPP account. And
right.
So, you won't be able to convince me to not do my job.
No, we don't want to do that at all. But we empathize with the appraiser. You know, we understand that this is difficult equipment to value. It's not easy on their part. And it's not easy on our part to value this equipment either. But at the end of the day, we're making a good faith effort to provide as much detail as possible. Okay. And you'll see that we're providing all of the component parts, which we hope will be evident enough for the appraiser to calculate and place the appropriate lifing on each of these assets.
Yep. Remember earlier I said, imagine I'm going to do this with absolutely zero emotion and no hardship concepts at all. Your discussion about what data she's going to want next year or not, none of that's going to have absolutely any weight at all in my decision. It can't and it shouldn't. So you guys can talk about that later. Don't think I'm going to make judgments based upon that.
No, that's fine. We will provide additional detail as requested by the appraiser.
Okay. Once again, beyond the purpose of this hearing, but I'm sure she appreciates it.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Any other rebuttal on your end?
No, that's it on our end.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Actually quite fascinating. I'm very interested in unusual aspects of valuation, and I work all over the world on interesting world-scale problems. So it was nice to see this, because I don't think I've seen this large a scale and this cutting-edge computer equipment come in front of me and robotics equipment come in front of me. So this will actually be interesting on my end as well. I always like learning about new things. So I hope your system works out. This is above and beyond the hearing, because this is part of what makes America great is the innovation and things like this. So thank you very much, everyone. I think everyone did a very professional job today. And if there's no further comments or questions from anyone?
No, we're good. Thank you.
Then thank you very much. I'm going to go over the information in greater detail, a lot of detail, and make my determination at that time. And that concludes petition 41. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.